To 1 Timothy 3, we're going to look at verse 15.
Told the pastor go ahead and still sing a regular amount of songs and such. I'm not going to be up here a real long time. I want to go over some more practical matters here. You know, I almost got up, said some stuff at 11, and I thought, you know, there's too many visitors here right now. And you don't always want to air family stuff with visitors. But it says this in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay? Now, I get into a lot of discussions as people argue and such, trying to tell me, well, this building isn't really anything, it's just a building. Well, I understand, it's a nice building. Okay? It was dedicated years ago to the service of God, but it isn't anything without the house of God in it. It's the gathering together of the saints of God in the name of Jesus Christ that sanctifies this house. This building doesn't sanctify us gathering together. It's the people of God coming together. Now, in the Old Testament of the house of God, it's difficult to distinguish the two because the glory of God dwelt in the tabernacle itself. So when it talks about the house of God, it's very difficult to distinguish. But what God did, and you'll find, we're not going to turn there now, but in Ezekiel 10, the cherubim go take the glory of God out of the house of God in Ezekiel 10. It just leaves. It's gone. Nebuchadnezzar can go tear it down. Okay? And so when Daniel talks about it, he talks about the temple of the house of God. Why didn't he just say the house of God? He's actually distinguishing the difference between the building and it as a house of God. The temple of the house of God. Okay? This is the church building of the house of God. Okay? We come together here because it really, what an heirloom. You think about it. What a marvelous thing that we should be left a building with. I stood down south and heard someone describe this as the prettiest Baptist church in America, okay? And it certainly could compete for that. Maybe not on the outside or whatever, but overall and such, and then what dashing men of God, you know, are here and such. And but the Apostle Paul stressed the behavior. Now, one of the reasons I haven't been huge on behavior here is because we have families at all different stages of growth, okay? I'm certainly not going to expect out of the Spencers what I would expect out of the Fords. Why? Well, Tanya hasn't even been saved a full 2 years. She's a single mother coming out of a life of abuse, trying to raise some boys who spent their first formative years in Helter Skelter. The Ford children have known nothing but emotional stability and yet watch their parents go through awful physical things, okay? So it's not that they haven't been without strife or seen awful things. I remember in their first, some of the first couple weeks they were here, Ashley would have one of those problems and close to a seizure again. And, you know, she'd have to go out and, you know, and I'd have Gracie and Autumn sit with somebody because you just see they're stressed, they're nervous, a hard thing to go through that. But at the same time, I'm not going to expect the same behavior out of say, Caleb that I would have expected out of Autumn at that same age. Okay, that's an unfair expectation. I don't expect the same thing out of the Montgomerys that I do out of the Maurys. Why? Because Dale and Amy have had 6 long years together with salvation, does it mean their kids are perfect? No. Okay. Follow their kids around. It'd be just like anybody's kids. Right. Exactly. There's nobody here that you couldn't follow around. Remember that guy I told you about, follow around, took pictures of my kids and such, in ugly positions. There's nobody here who has kids that if people followed them long enough, they couldn't take ugly pictures. The mothers themselves could tell you ugly stories about their children. I had someone recently describe to me how dumb his son was. Went to great lengths, told me. We went through 10 years. And I remember leaving just thinking to myself, I could do that to any one of my sons. I could go through and list up every stupid thing they ever did and then tell people how dumb they are. Okay? How would you like to have somebody who only looked at you in that light? Thought of you that way. Just remembered all the stupid things you did. Now, some of you grew up with that. Okay? Some of you grew up with that. Were people who just harped on every awful thing you ever did and remembered it and just talked about it and cast it in your teeth and never let you forget it or anything else. And again, what an awful, awful way to grow up. What a terrible, and I grieve for some of you that went through that. But one of the reasons we come to the house of God is to be able to learn how to live different. Okay? To have hope that there is a better life. There's a better way to live. Okay? That there really is. And I want to go into some of that. Now, one of the things I was going to bring up is this. I told you it's going to be very practical. What are you doing? I'm unwrapping candy papers. Now, I found four of these in that doorway right after 11 o'clock service. Okay? Now, let me tell you a rule that we had for my children growing up. Doesn't mean it has to be your rule. We're Askless. All of you have different last names. One of them was this. You can receive candy from anyone in the church, but you will not put it in your mouth till you've come and talked to us. Okay? If someone comes up and hands you candy in the church, that's fine. But you will come to us and you will eat it when we tell you to eat that piece of candy. Okay? And the thing is, if you're one of those giving out candy in church, we have a few that do. Nice people, good people. People who would never in a million years would throw it down there. Melinda would never in a million years throw candy wrappers down on the floor. Not going to do it. Her parents wouldn't have put up with it. Her grandmother wouldn't have put up with it. Her grandfather wouldn't have put up with it. All right? In a million years. But keep this in mind. When you hand out stuff to children here, they weren't always raised like you were raised. Okay? You yourselves police your own children in this sense, okay? I think it's a good rule. If you have a different one, that's fine. But again, my children were never allowed to eat things in the church that other people gave them until they came to us and cleared it. For one reason, we have some pretty weird people come to this church sometimes, okay? Not everybody that comes to this church. And you know what? I treat them just like long-lost uncles. They come to this church and I agree, you think they're the most wonderful people in the world. You know, because a lot of times I think they're the most wonderful people in the world. I'm glad they're here. But we don't always know their background and such. So the thing is, now, let me tell you another thing. And again, we're in all different stages of discipline here in the families. I'm putting an ideal out, and I'm not going to be angry with anybody if next week you haven't reached this ideal. I have all the time in the world. Well, not all the time in the world. I'm 64. You know, there's going to come a point when I'll just kind of lecture you from a rocking chair or something. But for right now, I've got some patience. I've got some time on this. One of the things I've noticed is this. We have children who want to talk during the service. You know what? My children always wanted to talk during the service. And I've noticed this. There are some parents who can turn to their child and say, and that child's quiet. You know where that child learned it? They didn't learn it here. They learned that at home.
Yes, sir. That's right. Exactly.
That's where they learned that. Yep. Another rule in the Asketh household. You don't have a right to talk. You kids were quiet all the time? No, they talked all the time. But it was, we gave them that privilege. And when we said quiet, you were quiet. Okay? Did they always obey? No, they didn't always obey. All right? Everybody's going to have a Tim in their life. All right? But the thing is, did they always? No, but that's part of the training. One of the things I watch when people are shushing their children are actually looking at them like, what? And they're going, they have this, you don't understand, I have this thing to tell you. And you realize that child was never taught at home to be quiet.
That's right.
They were never taught at home. I'm talking to your father now. You will be quiet. You know what? They're to stand there. Years ago, they used to have a thing called Mayfest in Columbia, South Carolina. And, you know, like a lot of the young preacher boys, we'd go down there and we'd pass out tracts and different things at it. And Ruth Ann had a story. She marveled one time because an Oriental man came up and was asking me questions about Christianity. And of course, I'm waxing eloquent, talking to him and everything. But what she marveled at was he had two teenage daughters who wanted to ask him something. And they stood there at attention waiting for their father. Or I should say maybe parade rest, but standing waiting for their father and never interrupted, never said a word. She talked later and said, oh my goodness. If any of her two daughters had shown their father unbelievable honor, those two girls did. Finally, the man turned to them, acknowledged them, and asked them what they wanted. There was a little exhibit they wanted to go see. And he said, yes, you may. And the thing is, did he train them there at Mayfest? No, he trained them at home.
Yes, sir.
And then when he went out in public, it reflected in public.
Good.
It showed. Now, one of the things I've taught you folks is this. You know, it's our Walmart rule. You know, kids at home, they realize certain things are going to happen if they do certain behavior, and then they get you out in public. Will you dare to do it here? Well, one of my rules used to be, if you show your butt in public, I'll beat it in public.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? And I understand we live in a day and age where that could be misunderstood, misconstrued, and everything else. You know what we used to do in Walmart? We'd have a kid suddenly acting up. They're not going to sit still. We'd just leave the store. We'd all go home. This family is not fit to be together in a store. We'd all go home. That child could not. And all the kids are looking at that kid. You made us go home. All right? They go home. That kid's punished. Sits for a while. You didn't want him to hang in public. This is what we're going to do. You know what? Next time we went out in public, it wouldn't be that kid again. When you had eight kids, you usually one of them, but you know, it usually wasn't that one again. And there's such a thing, you know, your children don't need to be shown anger in church.
Amen.
And I don't mean by you kidding and pretending you're something else. Okay? Your children need to be trained at home how to behave. Then when they don't behave that way in church, then you need to know, go up and be able to explain to them, look, here's what you're doing. Okay? And you know what? If they instantly got it, oh my goodness, there wouldn't be any punishment. You know, if I could take a child by the arm and say, hey, you're talking too loud. Hey, you know, you're doing this. Hey, you just dropped that paper on the floor. And they picked it up again or something. You know what? I would never punish that child in a million years. You know, they did what they're supposed to. But it's that child that's not getting it or whatever else. You know, when we got home, there's going to be a price to pay. You know, that was, we're not going to do it at church. We're not going to drag everybody down or whatever else. We're just not going to do that. And the thing is, children raised this way are happier than children who aren't.
Yeah.
Okay? Go sit in a doctor's office. You've heard me say this over and over again. Go sit in a doctor's office and watch a mother with her children. The rarest thing anymore is to see a mother who really likes her own children. Just sit there and ask yourself, does that mother like her children? They don't like those children. Why? Because the children are awful. They're bribing them, trying to give them electronics, candy, anything to be quiet and such. Anything to shut them up. And you know how politicians get voted in? By making more Head Start, more places to send these children where those mothers don't have to be around them and make all that stuff for them because women don't have a clue how to like their own children.
That's right. That's good.
Of all the things Mrs. Haynes says, the sweetest thing she says is that she always loved snow days and days like that because her children were home. You know, that idea, oh, the kids are home today. That was such a happy thing that her children were home. I've known mothers just pull their hair out, their children are home. It's an awful thing, okay? Don't want to be around those children, whatever else. And so the thing is, learning how, and here's the hard part. First, discipline yourself, okay? It's very difficult to build more character into a child than you yourself have. My wife and I have struggled with that a lot. We used to talk about that a lot. Both of us really came into adulthood without character.
Yes, sir.
And so then when you're trying to raise children and you're trying to put more character in your children than you yourselves, it's really a hard thing to do. Okay? And you know, there's a lot of mistakes, a lot of things that go wrong with that. Now, again, I want you to bring your kids in here like they are. This is all part of learning. This is all part of what the house of God is. Now, turn with me, if you would. Go to first, let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It says in verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What do I mean by become?
Well, anybody ever seen an old woman trying to look young, wearing some dress, trying to look snazzy, and it was not becoming to her? All right? Yeah, that's right. You know, in other words, you behave a way that becomes sound doctrine. I like to think that in the Black Creek Baptist Church we have sound doctrine here. Well, you need to behave in such a way that doesn't look like that dress on that old lady. All right? You need to behave in such a way that people look at it and say, boy, that behavior really reflects a church that has sound doctrine.
Right.
Am I talking about perfect? No.
Right.
Okay? Not at all. You know what the last thing I ever want to see? The last thing I ever want to see is the Montgomery kids coming in here like tin soldiers, afraid to move. They're afraid to do something wrong. It's the last thing on God's earth I ever want to see. I want those little personalities to be able to express themselves and talk and show happiness inside. And you know what? Screw up once in a while. Screw up once in a while. But the difference is, and I've seen that one of the huge improvements I've seen with Tanya? Caleb's as precocious as ever. But you know what the difference is? She'll say, no, but he comes. He comes now. He didn't used to do that. He used to have to run and catch him. You know? He doesn't do that anymore. Now when she does this, he comes. You know what that is? That's huge. Okay? Some of you go ahead. Try to be a single mother somewhere with a father that never comes around and a grandfather that babies the kids too much but is paying the bills. Try to do that. Okay? And try with your own background with nothing but hurt and pain and everything else. And try to go ahead and set your home up. And see how long it takes you to straighten it back out. Okay? Huge. The idea that she'll want in comes now. Okay? You think I'm going to stand there and rail all over her or something when I'm watching progress and I'm seeing things going out of the other? No, not at all. Why? Because God's doing something. God's doing it on his level, his timing, everything else. All right? Tanya will tell her the problem right now is her. God's trying to get her in shape. All right? She and I were just talking about that thing. You know what? He's trying to get her to read her Bible. Say, well, we all read our Bible. Yeah, sure you all do. Yeah, sure you all do. Yeah, you've all got this discipline down straight. You know we're going to be in the Word of God and such. You know, and we do have some people like that. And we have some others, and God's going to wrestle with you over that. He's going to get you in that position. He's going to get you to a point where you finally start reading your Bible like you're supposed to read your Bible. Now, says this, verse 2, that the aged men be sober. Okay. Now, we're not just talking about whether or not, Jim and Pastor Hain and myself can sit here and drink liquor in church. That's not what it's talking about. The idea is sober. That we're not some giddy little guys all around, all right? There's a sobriety. Pastor Hain will laugh, he'll joke up here and such, but he's a sober man, okay? I don't mind laughing and kidding and everything. I want to be sober. Jim is a sober man. And yet he's got a sense of humor. He can laugh. He can see these things. But there's a sobriety that we're looking for. Why? Because I really want the young men to see that and develop that sobriety. That ability to know when to be quiet and when not to be giddy and not to be foolish. Be sober, grave. Okay? Grave. Telling a judge something, and you've broken the law and you're explaining it to him, that look he's got on his face. Grave, that ability to, goes beyond soberness. It's that deep concentration that you're looking at and such. And God wants them to have that. Temperate, what's that mean? Having the right balance in each thing. When you put a temper on a blade, okay? It's that right balance that it's got with heat and sharpness and everything else when a blade is tempered. Temperate is having the right amount of balance. A man that temperate in all things, if you want to win a race. You know what?
I'm glad if you're a health food eater, I'm glad you're a health food eater. Okay? I'm glad. But if you talk to someone, for example, Mrs. Hain has outlived any doctor's prediction by many, many years, by temperance. Does she always refrain from sugar? No. Okay? Sugar's past her lips, but it's temperate. It's a certain amount. Okay? Not too much. You need a certain amount of some? Not too much. Not too much of this. Not too much of... Don't let anything be in too much abundance of whatever. Temperate. Okay? Sound in faith. In charity, in patience. Now look what it says in verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Okay? And just because a woman gets old doesn't mean she's holy. Okay? She's not able to carry on like she used to be able to carry on. But it says, not false accusers. And you know, that's a hard thing for women. False accusers. A friend of mine, Dale's going to go preach for Pastor Townsend next week. His wife's got a sign on the wall in their home, and she is not a gossip. But she just said, I refuse to repeat gossip. So listen carefully the first time. But she is not a gossip. She can put that there, and everybody can laugh when she says it. You know, there was a time when we hadn't been here too long, Ruth Ann used to like to go and, with different women, and they would walk together here. Different women around the neighborhood. You know why she finally had to stop it? The gossip. You know how they'd gossip? We need to pray for the so-and-so family. Well, really, why? Because Mrs. So-and-so has been seen in the room with Mr. So-and-so so many times, you know. And Mrs. So-and-so, you know, we're seeing all the beer bottles outside of her house. And we need to pray about, you know, her daughter, you know what her daughter's doing. We need to pray about that and such. And the gossip was always given in the sense of prayer requests. We're holy. We'd never gossip. But we're going to pray for these people. And you know what? She finally had to stop it. Well, it's not that every woman did it. Not every woman did. But enough of them did. That she finally just had to stop it. It just couldn't go on. And there are some women who didn't do that, but there are others who did it so often she just shut the whole thing down. But aged women likewise, that being behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And you know, a woman has so many things to teach, so many things that she can pass on, so many things that she can say. But look what it says in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And you think, well, is it automatic they love their husbands? You know, there's this romantic love that they start out with. But the reason people divorce is they never get over into the real, they never get into third and fourth gear. Okay? There isn't that first gear, that romantic love or whatever, and they never learn how to get where they need to be in that real love of a husband, that thing that will make it work, that thing that will make it go on. And that's something that older women can teach younger women to do. It's part of the reason for the house of God, that they even learn. One of the ways you learn that is just being around them. Okay? It gives you a chance to ask questions. You know, when Ruth Ann and I first had children, one of the things we did is we looked around and we looked for a woman or two who we liked how their children turned out. And then when we have specific questions, specific, not general, I mean, it might be whether Pampers or Huggies. I've seen nurseries fall apart over that. Bill Randall always used to say, your wars will start in the church amongst the musicians and in the nursery. Mm-hmm. All right, those are the two places. They'll just have war over that. And but the thing is, she would go up and ask that woman, how do you do thus? And that woman would tell her, and that woman wouldn't know. It became a rule in our home. This is how it's done. Okay? That woman didn't realize she established a rule on me even. And you know what? If we found later that it didn't work for us, then we could change it. But when we didn't know, we'd go to a woman who was doing it right, who we liked how their kids turned out. We actually liked, you know, did they have perfect kids? Not at all. But just generally alive and in control of themselves and happy children and such. And that's what we're looking for. You know, let me say this. And this is a very tender thing. And we're going to stop here fairly quick. And I don't really want to make a huge thing out of this. Now that I've made a huge thing out of it. But, you know, another thing that's difficult is this. There are certain children here And only the parents are to make these decisions that I'm going to talk about. This is not a thing. This is not up to the trustees. This is not up to the deacons. This is not up to Pastor Hayne and myself. When your children go to the bathroom, okay? That is not our decision to make. That's totally up to you, because there might be private things you know, okay, going on. A child with diarrhea, you know, a girl with an infection, something of that sort. And that's why I don't make a huge thing of it. But there are certain children that I could almost set the clock and tell you when they're going to go to the bathroom or service. Okay? They just are. They're just going to get up and they're going to go. Hey, why? They've taught themselves. It's a way to get over. And back when Mr. Botens was alive, he had to get up quickly one time, and he went back to that handicapped bathroom, and Jim followed him. We have a child who almost always at the exact same time of the service goes back there. That child was in that bathroom. Mr. Botan stood there and soiled himself all over, and they're banging on that door. And Jim's standing there trying to help him. He soiled himself all over again. The child's still in there, knocking again. Soiled himself. Finally, it's just rancid. It's all over. And there's Jim with him, as tender as any nurse with a child.
Yes, sir.
That old man, and trying to help him. And finally, the child comes out, and there is no evidence whatsoever that anybody went to the bathroom in there. It's just a child that goes in, tries to break up the monotony of services by going in that bathroom and such. And so it's one of those things that then, you know, Jim went and helped clean him. You mentioned the humiliation. Mr. Botas helped clean him up, went over to the house with him, helped clean him up and such. Took me a long time in there to clean up all. I mean, it was a mess. I mean, you know, a man would just soiling himself. Now, that's an extreme example. But it won't be the last. Sooner or later, we'll get another extreme example like that again. And so it's one of those things again. Now, let me tell you a rule. My children were allowed to go to the bathroom anytime they wanted to in church. And then we'd come home and ask, why 5 minutes after the service started at 11 did you have to go to the bathroom? Because you played in the yard to the last moment, didn't you? Okay? So you owe us an hour sitting in that chair. I never told my children, Dad, I got to go. You know what? They'll lie, and sometimes they tell them the truth. I let them make the decision. You know? You need to go? Go. Okay? And you know what? My wife might say, but honey, he's had diarrhea for 2 days. Okay, you know, it's no punishment for that. That's why it's not up to the church. It's up to the parents. Okay? Not my business at all. And if your children aren't well trained, it's my honor to wait until such time as God can work with you and in your home and such, and to get those things in order. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about some common sense ways to behave in the house of God. Okay? Watch this thing with your children taking candy. Okay? Every child wants candy. There's nothing wrong with your children because they want candy. Nothing wrong with them. But you know what? You really should make it a rule that they only eat what you tell them to eat in church.
Yes, sir.
Not just run greedily. And Miss Melinda's never turned a child down that wanted candy. Never. All right? And you know what? I don't ask her to do that. But you parents need to train your children that they come to you with what they get. And that you give them permission when to handle that and how to handle that. It's hard to expect Ray Ray to expect, like, you know, to act like we'd expect Zane to act, okay? And it's not going to happen so much. You train your children at home when to be quiet. Make the table a quiet zone until you're ready for them to talk. Then they're allowed to talk. Teach them that. Teach them at home not to interrupt. You're talking on the phone. No, you will be quiet and you'll sit down. Okay? I'm talking on the phone right now. Okay? I will be ready for you when I'm ready. I don't think I've ever had a child with such an emergency that ever mattered. I've had some that thought they did. Okay? I remember my brother one time telling my mother, would you tie my shoe? She said, yes. Oh, by the way, we have an emergency. And my other brother was hanging from somewhere up there. Did you tie my shoe? She's tied his shoe. Oh, by the way, there's an emergency. But the thing is, have some sense. This is the house of God, and we're learning together. And that's why I really waited until it's us, okay? Together. All right. Pastor Hayne, would you close us?